Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown. Gary Baker and Ed Rudell here. We're standing by waiting for your questions. And as we've told you these past few weeks, the best time to call is to call early in the show. Get on with your question and we'll get to answering it as quickly as it arrives. Again, the number here is 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. You got a problem? We'll get some answers for you. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and thank you very much to Mike Parsons, our program director, who's been filling in faithfully as our engineer this last hour, and Eric Norch is on board now. Thank you, Eric, for joining us, ace engineer and our producer as well. And Gary is online with us from Fort Lauderdale, where he's aboard your bogus shared adventure?
Yep, shared adventure.
Shared adventure, that's it.
Yep, we share the adventure.
All right, and he's sharing it, matter of fact, with some folks later on this evening. In fact, after the show is done, he Captain Bly here is going to be taking off with another crew of turistas.
Can you imagine the conversations? We talked about this in emails, and because Gary is Mr. Networking. I mean, he really is, and he gets most of our hosts. Thank you very much, Gary. Can you imagine some of the conversations that'd be wonderful to capture on Shared Adventures?
You know, that's true.
Well, you know, we... The first week, we had a couple from the Cayman Islands. The second week, we had a gentleman that was traveling from Sweden, and he was going back a few weeks later. At the same time, there was a woman from Venezuela and another guy from the Dominican Republic, and the four of us sat up on the flybridge till way too late, having just a great conversation about the differences. And right now, two guests from Germany are getting ready to go kayaking. So
it's incredible.
You know, it's just been, and we did a music video 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you told us about that.
Yeah, it was rap music, so it was not exactly my style of music.
Not your cup of tea.
My son liked it.
He liked it. All right. All right. Mr. Gary Baker down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Aboard the Shared Adventure, and we're going to have to get you some pictures of that. But, you know, Ed, you got it. This is a spin-off podcast, Conversations on the Shared Adventure.
Because, you know, Gary's going to always twist it towards, you know, Gary could talk with a wall. He really could. But his areas of expertise...
Yeah, okay.
But his areas of expertise are just vast and deep. Yep. And, of course, we only tap into the internet portion of it and technology and his entrepreneurism and stuff like that. And, I'd be interested to learn some of those other facets.
Gary, that's our next stage. It's going to be called Conversations on the Shared Adventure.
Well, I will tell you that I had two professional musicians, different than the music video that we shot. I came in off of a cruise ship, and then they were heading to Cuba, and I was taking him to get his bags because his bags came in late, and we got in my car, and I was going to run him up to the airport, and I listened to audiobooks, and I was listening to an audiobook about Nikola Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, and it was about 10 seconds worth of audio before I turned it off so I could talk to him. And he goes, was that a book on Tesla? And I said, yeah. And we had the most wonderful conversation about Tesla. This guy really knew his facts. I'm going, I know a little bit about this because I just listened to most of the book, but he knew it. And he knew about SpaceX, about what's going on with Elon Musk and Tesla, you know, of current day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then last week we had a true rocket scientist on. So, you know, on board. And she and her husband, who was actually ran a big chunk of veteran affairs for the Army, you know, great conversations with them as well. So it's been fun.
Well, this is definitely a spin-off podcast. All right, we've got Mike from Waterford and Ron from Southfield who are standing by out there. And since we told them to call early, we're going to get right to them at 800-859-0957. And let's say hello to Mike out there in Waterford. Mike, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you. What can we do for you?
Restore my sanity, please. Okay. Real quick, I've been building on my own PC since the early 90s. 3.1 we started with. Anyway,
okay,
we're at the Windows 10 now, and, you know, I've got four, five desktops, whatever. This particular one's my main guy.
Okay.
I put a Samsung Smart TV on this. And situation is this, HDMI both sides, both ends. And situation is when I turn it off, it doesn't, the TV doesn't turn off. It just, it says no connection, da-da-da, you know, it gives you HDMI, da-da.
Okay.
And then when I turn it on, well, if I have it turned off, I have to manually turn it on with the remote. So it's driving me crazy, okay? And
well, what? Hang on a second, Mike. What in particular is driving you nuts?
So he builds computers.
Yep.
And you're using basically a high def TV as a monitor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the monitor is not shutting off as you would anticipate when
through the
HDMI cable.
Right.
Because that's one of the features of HDMI is that it has an intelligent conversation of not only audio and video, but it should send power signals through there.
Understood.
That says
yep. I got you.
Okay, and it's not doing that, basically.
It's not, okay, yeah. So it's not...
I've got one more just to throw in.
Sure, go ahead. Because I tell you what we're going to do. Let Mike get that question in
Because I was just trying to summarize it.
Okay, yep, go ahead, Mike, go ahead.
Okay, situation is I have another Samsung Smart TV, and it shows up on my, I've got the PC share, you know, you share your files, et cetera.
Sure.
Well, that one is showing up as one of my devices on this particular, even though it's not connected. It shows HDMI 2 like it is, and it's not. And I have satellite TV. I have dish satellite that comes in, but I'm picking it up off of AT&T's UVerse.
Here's what we're going to do. Mike, we're going to take a pause for a sec. We're going to, during the break, we're going to try to consolidate some of the questions you're asking. But what I find intriguing is you're using a TV, a high-definition TV, as your monitor, which makes perfect sense. So let's talk about some of this coming back in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor. Stand by. Time for your question as well at 800-859-0957. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. You've heard the number there again. We'll do it. 800-859-0957. Take this lovely evening, and you've been having something that's making you kind of crazy. We'll take our very best shot at doing something for you. Mike is with us from Waterford. Ron, hang in there. We'll be with you shortly as well. But Mike, your situation was that you've got a Samsung high-definition smart TV, I'm going to guess.
All smart.
Smart TV, okay.
I think it's supposed to be smart, but I'm not sure how smart it is.
Right, and he's hardwiring it into a computer he's recently built.
Right.
And the issue is that when he instructs the computer to go to sleep, the TV's actually remaining on.
Right.
And I'm assuming that if you plugged in another, something else, like another TV, that would actually either go into standby mode or shut off. Have you tried that?
No, I haven't tried that.
Okay.
Because usually, I don't know if monitors, external monitors, actually shut off. They're supposed to go into a standby mode.
Yeah, mine goes into a standby mode. I have an LG.
Is it a TV? Or inch.
No. It's a monitor.
It's a monitor. Monitors will do that. But I'm not sure about TVs. Have you ever, Mike? Have you ever talked to anyone? I mean, are these things actually supposed to power off, or are they just supposed to go to standby?
Well, the situation is I didn't call Samsung on this particular one. I've had my share of Samsung support, which I can't say on the air.
yeah, but
it's not been a happy experience.
But yet you went out and bought another one because they do make a good.
Yeah,
they make some of the best displays out there.
They do.
I'll give them that. But you know, any company you deal with, you can have support issues.
Let's try something. I have a feeling that this is going to take a little more teasing apart than we can do right here.
And I don't think I'm going to be able to help you, but it really sounds like you need to see if you could find if Samsung provides drivers for their TVs. But, you know, you've been around building computers. I stopped building computers in like 2003 or something like that.
Okay.
Because I started going to laptops and I can't build those out.
Listen, I got it all. I got laptops. Of course, you can't build those, but... I got laptops. I've got.
You got them all.
How many?
But you might want to go to the, and I'm sure you've gone to the manufacturer's site for the video card and made sure you had updated drivers for that. Was this Windows 10 computer, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
And I went to NVIDIA. They have the card for the video card for this. And mm-hmm. they got, you know, it's got an HDMI connection in the back, and I don't see anything about. I check for drivers, nothing to say we need to update them or anything like that.
What about, Mike, I think Gary might have some thoughts on this, too.
Okay.
So actually, your computer is just another source, another input source. So
gotcha.
When you turn down an input source, if you take that source away, it doesn't turn off the TV. It just allows it to go to a different source. So I don't think there is a driver that will allow you to turn off your TV with your computer. You may be able to jerry-rig something up. There may be a device out there that will do that.
Yep.
But, you know, if you think about it, just a different source, if you take off your DVD player, for instance, doesn't turn your TV. You turn that off, doesn't turn your TV off. It just there's no signal from that source, so you have to move to another source.
So maybe there's a way to configure this smart TV to, how can I say this, to go into standby mode if no source. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be a setting in there or something.
I don't
know what it would be for Samsung.
Well, you know, what's kind of interesting about this whole conversation, and let's wrap this up, is that we're kind of on the frontier. You never would have talked about this, would you, 2 years ago? About hooking up on HDTV to your computer.
Gamers did, but for us, yeah. I mean, it's cheaper to buy a TV than it is a monitor.
Exactly, and there's some beautiful TVs out there that would serve both purposes marvelously and give you a much bigger monitor.
I'm still waiting to the point where you know, like Popular Mechanics said, where I could use a brush and paint a TV on my wall. I'm still waiting for
that. That's coming in. That'll come in. All right. Mike, thanks so much for giving us a call here on the Internet Advisor. All right. Let's go to Ron from Southfield. And Ron, thank you so much for being patient and hanging in there. Well, how can we help you?
Yes. Hello. I accidentally deleted photos from a Kodak camera. Mm-hmm. And how can I recover that data?
That can be difficult.
Take the pictures over again?
What's that?
He said, take the pictures over again. He's being a smart aleck.
Oh, no. From the reunion, family reunion.
Oh, ouch, ouch, ouch.
Now, how did you delete them? Did you delete them using a PC or using the cameras?
The camera. I accidentally, it said, do you want to delete? And I thought I pressed no.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
Do you have the photos on the camera itself or on
removable
media? It's on the camera itself.
What kind of camera is it, Ron? What kind of camera?
Kodak Easy Share.
Okay. Oh, it's an Easy Share. Okay. I'm wondering, was it set up to automatically save to a cloud-based source?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, the only way that I've heard of doing this is don't do anything, don't take any further pictures with the camera. I'm assuming that it has a memory stick or an SD card in there.
An SD card in it, most likely. Yeah.
And there is software out there that you can use that will do undelete or scan the card for files and try to reassemble them, but you usually have to pay for that.
Well, you know something? That's a good... Here's some homework for you, Ron. Look for undelete software. And I think what you do is you'll take that SD card. I'm going to guess you have an SD card, a little tiny card that goes in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Pull that one out. Okay. Get that out of the camera.
Right.
Because you don't want anything writing over the data that's there, which is essentially what's going to happen. And then take that SD card, and with an SD card reader, you might be able to plug it back into your laptop or desktop.
Yeah, be careful. I don't copy anything to it.
No.
And yes, there are programs. Now, natively, the operating systems do not have the ability to undelete. But, I mean, that's why they have recycle bins and trash cans. But there are utilities on the internet, but you got to be careful because there's so many Trojans now on the internet.
Where would you suggest you go?
Well, I'm looking, and CNET had an article just a couple of years ago that they said that you can recover data using one of these utilities, and they wrote an article on it. So you may want to go to CNET and CNET.com. And basically the article is how to recover deleted photos from a memory card when you delete it off your camera, you know. So you're not the only person to ever do this. It's really hit or miss whether or not you're going to be able to get the data back. And there are professional people that are companies that will that can recover your photos.
Where do I get the SD card reader?
Yeah, I believe you said that the photos were on the camera itself, not on the memory stick.
Right.
Oh, okay.
It's on the SD card.
Yeah, it's on the SD card, Gary.
Don't always have to be.
No, you're right.
They have internal
you're
memory.
Right. You're right. You're right.
Well, so you're setting it up.
Sure.
And now that I'm looking at the CNET article, it's actually using a piece of software that I've used before, and it's called Recurva, R-E-C-U-V-A. But look for the CNET article and read through it, and it basically it's using R-E-C-U-V-A, Recurva, or, you know, Recurva. Recover.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't get that the first time I said that. Recover. And it's quite possible that hopefully this will do that. No. And if any of our listeners have experience, because I know I've done this.
Oh,
and
Lord.
And every time I always have to find an undelete utility to help me out. You know.
Ron, I was just, I Googled the same thing as we often do here on the show. And the answer that I got on here was you will need a card reader, a computer, the memory card in question, and nerves of steel. I don't know that that's very helpful in the end. But in other words, there are programs out there and processes
and then to help you take a crack. And then look at YouTube as well.
Oh, yes. YouTube would be a great place to go.
Yes.
Excellent.
And you might find someone that actually provides links in their YouTube video to help you that are still valid and don't have Trojans on them that you can use to recover this data. And good luck.
Yeah, Ron, good luck to you.
Especially in the summertime.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Ron. Take care. That's a family reunion, too. Oh, your heart breaks when you hear that kind of thing. Okay, here's the number again, folks. 800-859-0957. We have got lots of time here on the show yet. It's summertime, lazy summertime, but it's a great opportunity when our lines are right now ready for you to call in and get first in line and get some answers to your questions that are out there. When we come back, a friend of ours is in studio with us. He's John Humphrey, who's been around before. And John is right now shopping around for a new computer. And I thought maybe it'd be kind of interesting to talk with you about your search, John, just kind of briefly as well. But we will put him in line with anybody else who gets hold of our phone lines here at 800-859-0957. Then we'll get some answers for you as well on the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell standing by to answer your questions on the Internet Advisor. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. Thanks to Eric Dortch, who's our engineer and producer as well, working behind the scenes here. From time to time, we've had people who've listened to the program for a few years. John Humphrey, a friend of ours, but somebody who's listened for quite a while, will ask, can I come down to the studios and sit in while you do a program? And provided we have the space, we'd love to. So it's first come, first serve. But give us an email, and we will get you on the list to come in the studio and join us here. It's kind of fun. Right, Ed? A little crazy.
Absolutely. And, you know, food is always welcome. No, just kidding.
bring a picnic.
Yeah.
Right, Gary?
Get a picnic basket.
All right. We're getting some calls lined up right now. There are a couple of people that Derek is working with. But, John, before we go to that, you are looking for a new computer right now, right?
About 8 years.
About 8 years.
Yes.
Someone who wrings the good out of their computer. Yeah, I gotcha. Good for you. What have you looked at so far? What is kind of catching your eye?
Well, just by sitting in today, I've listened to about Lenovo, and it seems to be the one that I'm probably going to go towards.
Well, before you listened to us, what were you thinking about?
Probably HP, and some suggestions related to Dell and, Shane from,
Shane Hamlin, right?
Shane Hamlin from Comtech Services.
And he'll be back in next week, by the way, helping us.
Yep, right. And he's been trying to put some specs together for me according to the current needs that I have.
So he's also trying to talk you out of a desktop, too. Not talk you out of. You had your eyes set on a desktop, because that's what
Correct.
You've had.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think about, you could still go that way, but you're actually thinking about a laptop as well?
More and more.
Yeah. Okay.
So, the desktop was more a matter of that's what you've been used to, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what was it that would have been the biggest stumbling block for you for getting into a laptop?
Looking at cost.
Okay.
You know, right now and
yeah.
Well, that's true. There is a premium for those.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Not as high as it used to be.
Right.
Absolutely not.
But prices have come down.
Yeah, and the premium's so small today, and you can do so many more things with it. It seems like a laptop should be something that you would consider because you can take it around the house. You're not in one place. You might, as we start to see convergence between computers and television, you might take it to the living room. You might go out on the deck with it, and you might travel with it, go vacation with it.
Yep, and I do a lot.
More important than I think the brand is what do you want to do with it,
right.
And you know because mm-hmm. you can buy laptops today at you know $250 to $299. Or you can buy them at $2,500, just really depends on what kind of capabilities you need. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that I've heard Shane say, and maybe Ed, you've covered, buying a bargain basement version of a laptop is not always that good,
right?
Because very often you can find it's got a plastic shell on it the processor in it is actually an older processor, and you know
it has a 6-cell instead of a 9-cell battery.
Right, exactly.
You're lucky if you get an hour and a half out of it instead of 2.5 or 4 hours. And if you are a Mac user, you might even get 8 hours.
Yeah. So keep that in mind as well. Right. That cheaper isn't always better.
Right.
But you know.
Right.
But you mentioned a couple good brands, and those ones that we've found, HP is certainly one that has kind of stuck its head and shoulders above the rest.
Absolutely.
And Lenovo certainly has been good too.
Yeah.
And if you're not particular, I bought the last I think 6 or 7 computers from Best Buy.
True. Yep.
Or you know only because Shane's company isn't as close to me as as the Best Buy down the street. But the reason I do that is I can go in there and get one on sale cheaper than I can get one online that isn't on sale.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And the other warning,
when they're trying to reduce their inventory, it's a great time to buy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The other warning that we had is if you purchased something from a store and it's, how can I say this? It's like recertified?
Or refurbished.
Refurbished? Mm-hmm. You typically lose your manufacturer's warranty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you have to make sure about that. You have to ask about it.
Yeah.
So you got to be definitely careful about that.
And one of the other values, John, and for the rest of our listeners out there too, is when you go to some place where you can walk into the store and look eyeball to eyeball with somebody, or as Gary said, get your hands on the computer and get the feel of it, you're always going to be in a better situation. Okay, let's go out there to Steve from Ohio, who's been waiting patiently. Steve, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
This morning on the national news, I heard an interview with the Time Warner Cable Spectrum director of PR, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this fall or winter, they are going to require a high definition box per each TV. There will be a free period based upon how much you're spending with them. Could be 1, 2, or 3 years. But then at the end of the period, there will be a $5 charge per month per box.
Wow.
My question is,
Comcast has been doing that for a long time.
Hang on a second. I got two of you talking at one time. Go ahead and finish your comment, Steve, and then Gary was responding. Go ahead.
Okay, can we buy our own box like we can buy, and I did, a Wi-Fi router at various outlets?
You know, you can buy your own box, but then keep the receipt. I have several people that have actually purchased the exact model number that Comcast uses, and I can't remember the manufacturer. I think Gary might know AirNet, or I'll have to look it up.
Anyways,
what happened is 4 years down the road, Comcast started charging them, and because they didn't actually keep the receipt, Comcast continued to charge them, even though they purchased the unit 4 years and they could show no record. Because the customer couldn't prove that they actually purchased it, somehow some billing accident happened, and they said, well, you obviously have the exact same model we have, so that must be our unit, and we don't show you ever purchasing it or leasing it, so we're going to start charging you. But the answer is yes, you can purchase your own high-def box. Work with them and find out what model number
okay.
that they support.
They were very congenial when I bought my Wi-Fi router mm-hmm. and told me they told me where to go on their website just to find compatibles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wi-Fi mm-hmm. isn't as important as that HD box.
Yeah.
Gary, have you got any insight on that?
You can buy them. You have to get them certified. Buy the certified ones. You know,
by the certified
what? Changes. They're making a lot of changes right now.
Yeah, they have to be certified by the. They have to be certified as being compatible by your cable provider, Warner,
okay.
Time Warner, and yeah, I mean, then you shouldn't have to keep that receipt, photocopy it, take a picture of
yeah.
it, archive it, put it on your Google Drive, whatever you have to.
But Time Warner is just now catching up to where Comcast Xfinity has been for,
yeah.
I don't know, 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, aren't they being bought? What was the big purchase that was just been made? Darn it.
Well, Spectrum is the carrier,
mm-hmm.
but there's a parent company that owns Spectrum that bought Time Warner. So now it's Spectrum.
Okay.
By name.
I see. I got you. So the new company is called Spectrum.
Yes.
I got you. And they bought Time Warner.
A company that Spectrum is a division of.
I have a terrible time keeping up with those guys.
I do too, because I made the mistake last week of saying Spectrum was Charter, but I was wrong. Spectrum is actually advertising on Charter Cable.
Okay.
But anyways.
So your issue, Steve, let's go back to it again, is that you want to see if you can get out of this $5 per TV kind of charge, right?
Sure, yes.
Obviously. Okay.
When they started charging $5 a month for our Wi-Fi...
Mm-hmm. Then you got a Wi-Fi box.
Well, oh yeah, a Wi-Fi yeah. router, the hardware, router, yeah, yeah.
And their pitch, of course, was that if it went bad, they'd replace it immediately, on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
The commentary was that it was going to go to 10. That's when I went out and bought my own.
Oh, it's under $10 a month charge, you mean, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I installed it, I had to call them. And I think I had 30 days to turn in their box.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't come and get me in the dark of night. But when service guy I was talking to, he said, well, that'll save you $13 a month. And they actually prorated it in the middle of January for me, which I thought was very nice. But the $10 charge, I guess, was going to go up to $13. That's what he told me.
Well, it's $10 and then plus service fees and taxes.
Okay.
And all the other stuff that's
yeah,
added on
okay.
top of that.
They're bad as, you know,
the fine print.
Mobile.
Guys, are we getting to the place where we essentially can buy our own hardware, like the you know the router and the modem that were
most companies allow you to do that today. They keep changing them, so they make it less desirable to buy your own.
Does that include like, for instance, I have a telephone, for instance, connection with my Comcast, and I got that big button. You know, I have the Xfinity box, the big one, and I mm-hmm. guess I've just been too lazy to get rid of it and get my own. But it's a one-stop shop in that sense,
right?
Do these new modems also allow you to put a phone line in there too? Hook the phone lines to them?
I think they do. They certainly do for Comcast.
Okay.
Xfinity.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because I have a fax line, for instance, that
right.
goes through that.
And all that's involved is you have to work with their technical side and provide them all the numbers on the power and on the bottom of the modem.
Okay.
And then they
right.
see it and they program it and then you're good to go.
And that could be a significant way of saving a good piece of change from your monthly charges, and heaven help us.
I haven't done that. I think
I haven't
lazy.
Either.
I think I'm just lazy.
Me too.
I have my wife do the bills, and I at least let her moan over them. You know, that way I don't have to see them. I just have to pay them.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
You know, it's I understand inflation and prices go up, but, you know, I hear all the time of people who are paying more for cable per month than
oh, yeah.
my first house payment.
Oh, wow.
No, I agree.
You must have bought your house a long time ago, though.
Well, yes.
Yeah, your cable bills are typically minimum $130.
Or at least, yeah, minimum.
Yeah, that was more in my house payment.
Oh, Steve, thanks for giving us a call and for raising this question, because I think it's going to help some other people as well when they're considering making their changes. All right, we've got a break coming up here, a quick one, and the number again is 800-859-0957, so there's still time for you to get a couple of calls in here. Get in, 800-859-0957. We had somebody who called about a graphics card for a gaming system, and they weren't able to hang on to the line, so we'll do some talk about that coming up on the Internet Advisor. Stay tuned! Well, thank you very much to Eric Dorch, our engineer and producer, who has made things possible here this afternoon. Yeah, that's right. Give yourself a round of applause. And a quick reminder for you, by the way, I'm going to be attending the Mac Group meeting that's coming up this Sunday, tomorrow. It's going to be at the Birmingham Temple. And if you'd like more information, just go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and scroll down, and you'll see all the information you need and a link off to more information about it. It starts at 3 o'clock. That's when the presentation starts. But if you get there at 2 o'clock, you have a whole genius bar of people there to help you with any particular issues you may be having with your computer, your Mac. By the way, the topic for discussion today, and again, this is an interesting one, guys. It says, your internet privacy, VPNs, what are they, and do you need one? Very interesting question in terms of security.
Yep.
And that's some of the stuff that they'll be tackling at the Mac Group meeting. It's going to be going on tomorrow at 3 p.m. And if you need more information on that, go to internetadvisor.net.
And VPN is another way of saying is anonymizing, basically.
Right, exactly. The virtual private
and securing network. The data. Right.
Gary, do you use a VPN at all?
For work, we definitely do. And it's a virtual private network. It's virtual because it's not technically a hardwired network,
right.
But gives you very good security. You can actually do that now on a personal basis. And
oh yes,
VPN
absolutely. Yep. There are a lot of conversations about that recently in technology. You'll find a lot of resources online. But for those of you who are interested, Mac Group is going to be tackling that tomorrow. And by the way, I do have on our homepage, internetadvisor.net, I've got a link to the statement by Brad Smith, the president of Microsoft, about their program for using the white spaces, among other things, that they're going to be investing in. And I'm going to be posting some more stuff up there for those of you who want to follow it. I am hoping and praying that the intervention of something as heavyweight as Microsoft, which
right.
is willing to put its money where its mouth is, $10 billion, I think they estimated, is going to make a difference.
Well, it's not new, as Gary said earlier, because Google came up with an announcement a couple of years ago, and you know, I really don't remember what happened to that.
Well, Gary also mentioned the fact that Microsoft is already at work with this kind of technology in Europe.
Yeah.
In Asia, right, Gary? You mentioned Singapore.
Yeah, it's Asia and Singapore.
Yep. So
I guess Singapore is in Asia.
They've got the goods, and they've done it. They've been there, which is encouraging to me.
What did Gary say? 23 square miles. I mean,
27 square miles.
27 square miles.
Hey,
yeah, that's like
proof of concept.
Yeah, that's like the size of Ortonville. You know?
Okay, let's get to Lynn from Troy. Lynn is with us on the Internet Advisor. Lynn, how may we help you?
Well, my problem is this, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Windows 10 computer,
mm-hmm.
and about six, eight weeks ago, I was hooking up my cell phone so I could download pictures from my cell phone over to the computer,
mm-hmm.
and I found out all of a sudden that the computer would not recognize the cell phone as a storage device. And hasn't since that time, and I was wondering if that was caused by some kind of Windows upgrade, or do I have a cell phone problem?
Is it an Android cell phone?
Yes, it is. It's
it's not a problem with Microsoft. I'm sorry.
You say what?
I'm sorry. What was the model number? It's a Samsung
3G.
Okay. Okay.
S3 or maybe whatever is on. Yeah.
Well, I see this all the time. Yeah, I see this all the time at work. And what happens is Samsung If you swipe down from the top, you actually see the symbol that shows that you have a USB device connected. And what you need to do is when you select it, you can connect your cell phone. You could select the option of how you would like your cell phone to be recognized by the computer you're plugging into. Wow. As a media device, as US charging, or USB
storage.
Try selecting one of the other options, because more than likely it's selected or it's probably selected FTP file transfer. I think that's something new that showed up on my Samsung S7 so that it doesn't show up as a media device. It no longer pops up the window so I can explore it. So every time I connect up my phone, I have to go up there and say, no, it's a media device. And then it's like, well, that didn't work this time. Why? I'll connect it as a USB, you know. So there's usually four options. Mess around with those.
The wonders of Android. Infinitely reconfigurable.
I've had this phone for probably 4 years or maybe five. Okay. And it's always just you just plug it in and it shows right up on your Windows Explorer document and you just click on it and everything is visible.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe I thought, well, maybe they put it into some kind of menu.
Was there a recent upgrade then?
I've stopped into Verizon and asked them about it, and they've looked at the phone and they say all my settings are correct. But I don't, you know, I haven't talked to their technical support people yet.
As soon as you connect the USB cable, have your screen unlocked on your Samsung phone, and as soon as you plug it in, swipe down from the top. And when I did mine, actually, I have five options now because I just did the security update. I have charge this phone, file transfer, photo transfer, system update, or MIDI. I'm like, where in the heck did MIDI come from?
My Lord.
And as soon as I selected file transfer or even photo transfer, because it used to be, you know, like I said, something else a little while ago, Samsung changed the nomenclature or they're changing the options. The menu selections. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll see that option.
Okay. Well, I will try that. I thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir. Thank you for giving us a call on that, Mike. All right. We have time probably for maybe one more call at 800-859-0957. Oh, God. I don't know. Are you a gamer? You're not a gamer, are you, Ed? You haven't been for a while.
No, not since, you know, I had kids and... Yeah,
I
needed sleep at the same time.
So. Next week, Shane is going to be with us. Shane Hamm is coming in here to help us with answering some questions because somebody called in and couldn't stay on the line. They were asking about graphics cards for a gaming system.
Right, there's really only two players out there for graphics cards, NVIDIA or ATI or AMD Radeon. There are some other ones out there. You know, Asus makes them and MSI. You know, Dell sells their computers, that's rebranded as like an MSI, but that's really an NVIDIA card. Anyways, there are several, not NVIDIA, ATI. So there are only really a couple different companies out there. And one of them is, like I said, AMD, which makes processors, right? And chipsets for motherboards.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So
now, and I understand that the differential on them is that some of them have onboard memory.
All of them have onboard memory.
Okay, all of them. I'm not a gamer, so I didn't know.
So when you buy an add-on memory card, it's usually for a desktop computer, and it's for either because you're doing photo editing and video editing, or you're a gamer, or as I discussed with you a couple weeks ago, there's a guy at work, and his basically his son put four video cards in his computer because he's going to be generating. Bitcoin currency.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Running Linux on his computer. And I told him, it's going to take about 6 months for you to get like an eighth of a Bitcoin. But go right ahead.
Knock yourself out. Well, guys, it's about time for us to wrap things up here. Gary, I want to thank you aboard the Shared Adventure there. And we're just going to see if we can get some pictures of your good ship lollipop and put it up online.
Thank you. I'll do that this week.
And think about a spin-off podcast called the Shared Adventures. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? And it would be sharing with the people who are on the Shared Adventure. Gary, there's something there.
We'll have to do that.
All right.
I think we'll have to do it.
Take care of yourself. Enjoy yourself in Fort Lauderdale and safe sailing. Ed, thank you for being here as well.
Always great.
And John, thank you so much. John Humphrey, our friend and a caller for many, many years. Thank you for being here with us as well.
Thank you, Foster.
All right. And for the rest of you out there, please be sure to look for Sunday night, unless something happens. And last week we had some problems. But generally speaking, by Sunday night, I've got the podcast done. And you can go to internetadvisor.net and you can download it for yourself there. There's a whole bunch of ways of doing that. We would encourage you to do just that. I'll be adding some other information about the white paper that Microsoft has put out about their Airband Connect program that they announced this week. So if you're interested in following up on that, it'll be there. Take care.